just, we're not going to take an exhaustive list right now, but what are some of the physical concerns that you have or that you have with someone here in the church or someone that you know as a relative? Just shout a few of them out real quick, one at a time, okay? What are some things, physical needs that we're praying for people right now? For cancer, who in particular? You got any specific for Teresa? We're praying for Teresa. Had two chemo treatments, right? And the second one was more powerful than the first. And yeah, it's just going to keep getting worse. Okay, what else are we praying for as a church? Now there's a bunch, so don't feel like hesitate. Larry? Yeah, Barb Snyder, that's undergoing her chemo treatments as well. Absolutely. Yeah, praying for Ken, and he's not fully there yet, but back with us and feeling better. So praise the Lord for that. Praying for Bill and his brain surgery and then the things he's going through with his eyes and all that. Yep, Brittany and with the baby, and that's definitely a physical condition, right? And Megan with her. With her migraines and with that infusion and all that. So it doesn't take us very long to figure out there's a lot of stuff going on with our physical bodies. And as I heard someone say, you know, living in this life is terminal. You know, unless the Lord comes back, we're all going to die. And it starts with physical ailments that sometimes get better and sometimes get worse. And then, you know, eventually we're just going to leave this world one way or the other. Y'all agree with that? But as we mentioned those concerns, is there anything that you can do to take away those physical problems that other people have? Now, I mean, can you go up to somebody and bonk them on the head, or can you go up to someone and or go to the doctor and say, now listen, I got some advice for you here. This is what, you know, we'd say no, right? There's really not a whole lot we could do. The point I'm making is there's a whole lot of physical concerns, and there's very little we can do about it, except go to the Lord, right? But I'm thankful that tonight we're going to be looking at how big is God. We're still in that sermon series. He's big enough to do what doctors cannot do. Now, this is one of those things. This is, I guess you'd call this a reminder message. You're probably not going to hear anything like, wow, you know, I never heard that before. It's probably not going to be one of those like, wow, you just loaded our head with a bunch of facts, and I've never really heard that perspective. Or it's probably you're going to be disappointed if you're expecting that tonight. It's really one of those reminder messages. And I think that we all need to be reminded of certain truths from God's Word. Y'all agree with that? And I think the message that we have tonight is very appropriate for Wednesday night prayer meeting, because so many of the concerns that we take as a church and we jot down or take for a week for someone, they are physical needs. They are physical needs. And again, we are going to have physical problems the older we get. Now, I know that some people, well, they don't have physical problems. They were killed in a car wreck and at a young age or whatever. I get that. But if we live long enough in this world, since really I really think we're dying from the moment we're born. I mean, really, it's coming, right? But this is encouraging news to be reminded of. So does anybody here need just a wee little bit of encouragement? Okay, all right. Is there anybody here that doesn't know someone that has a physical ailment of some sort? Probably not. Tonight, how big is God? He's big enough to do what doctors cannot do. Some of you may have already figured out where we're going on this one. Mark chapter 5, verses 24 to 34. Mark chapter 5, verses 24 to 34. And I guess I probably could turn on the accent really big since it's Western time, right? How big is God? He's big enough to do what doctors cannot do. I got to work on that a little bit for my lesson on Wednesday night this year, right? My lesson is on Wednesday night. Yeah. All right, going to read these verses. Again, a familiar passage, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of this before, but I want to remind you, however bad it might look, whatever doctors may tell you, whatever their inabilities might be, God is big enough to do what doctors cannot do. really a big reminder in this story. Mark 5:24. I'm not sure that everybody's awake tonight. Okay. I want you on the count of three to say, howdy. Okay. One, two, three.
Howdy.
Okay. All right. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Now, we're dealing with Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, has a daughter that he beseeches Jesus to come and heal her, okay? Now, that we jump right in verse 24, and he's heading that way, okay? But it says, and Jesus went with him. Who? Went with Jairus, heading with him. And it says, and much people followed him. Anybody have any idea what much means? A lot. Bunches of people followed him. That's followed Jesus and thronged him. Any idea what thronged means? Yeah, I mean, there's people all around him. You ever been in a really big crowd? A lot of times it's around food booths at county fairs or something, or food booths at some big festivals you might be at, or it might just be walking down the street. Has anyone here been to the New River Gorge Bridge Days? Gwen? I've never been there. That's in my back door, and I've never been there. But I'll bet you when you go there, it's the biggest festival in West Virginia, from what I understand. You know, you walk, actually, they close down the bridge. You'd say there's a bunch of people on that bridge, right? You just better hope that they don't all start marching at the same time. That could be catastrophic. You know what I mean? Marching in the same step, get that thing. Okay, well, it wouldn't be good. But anyway, the point is, there's probably at times when you're at that festival, possibly, depending on when you were there, that it was kind of like throng. There's people everywhere. You're trying to squeeze through, excuse me, and getting through. And it's that way with Jesus. As he's going to heal Jairus' daughter at this point, that's what the request was. She's sick. Bunch of people heading to him, or heading with him, that is. Heading to Jairus' house. It says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, we don't even know who this woman was. We don't have any clue. We're not given her name at all. And it says, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, or immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, if you read this story, it is a wonderful story, a familiar story in Scripture. How big is God? He's big enough to do what doctors cannot do. In verses 24 and 25, point number one, we got bad bleeding. Bad bleeding. She's hemorrhaging some way. It could be a female thing, we really don't know, but she's hemorrhaging in some way. So it says in that verse that she had an issue of blood. An issue of blood. And then it says, 12 years. We have a prolonged problem. A prolonged problem. It's really cool when Scripture is that specific and that particular about the time. 12 years. Now, I know some of you have struggled with health issues, certain things. People battle cancer, and then sometimes it comes back, and you say, well, I battled cancer before. And my stepmom, how many times did she say she had cancer? Is it like five times? I think five different times she's battled cancer. And I believe she's 88 now. And she'll say, you know, like, you know, she's the one that says, I want to go home. I don't know why the Lord keeps me. And everybody keeps saying, well, just the Lord's got it under control. Just keep praying. She prays a lot. Prolonged problem. I'm thinking of Barbara Snyder. It seemed like she had breast cancer. It seemed like about 23 years ago, maybe. It's a long time. Don't quote me on that. But then had been fine, and now she's got it back. So people battle things. Sometimes there's a big gap in between. Sometimes we battle the same problem again and again and again. But this woman had a prolonged problem. 12 years is a good long time, don't you think? Same problem, same issue, a bleeding issue, and nobody can fix it. So we got, first of all, bad bleeding. Secondly, we got prolonged problem. Third, we got severe suffering. Severe suffering. Notice what it says, and had suffered many things of many physicians. suffered many things. Severe suffering. You know, I remember this. I guess you could say, you know, sometimes people jokingly say, if I had everything I learned in kindergarten, or everything I learned, I learned in Westerns, I guess. But, so I'm pretty comfortable with this setting here. Maybe Sunday I wear my cowboy hat. What do you think? I have to find the cowboy hat first. but I remember one thing about sometime in history. I don't remember. I'm thinking it was about the cowboy era. That sometimes if people would get sick, they would say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to drain out the bad blood. Now, maybe that goes back long before that. I'm not sure where I've heard this. But the idea was to bleed them such that, okay, I mean, quit picturing it in your mind, move on, hum to yourself or something. We'll look over in a minute. She'll be passed out on the floor. She pictures whatever you say like that. But they would try to drain out the bad blood and think they were going, you know, that was a philosophy or an idea or a thought. And it's like, that doesn't work. Somewhere along the line, they figured out it doesn't work. But I know that would be pretty painful. Don't you think that would make you suffer a little bit? I think so. That's just an example, but it says that it suffered many things of many physicians. So not only was it bad bleeding, not only was it a prolonged problem, not only was it severe suffering. Fourthly, tonight, there were some perplexed physicians. Notice it says, and suffered many things of many physicians. And if you drop down there to the last phrase, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. These doctors were scratching their head going, now I'm one of these people. I'm not saying that to belittle doctors. I'm one of those people. I know some people are anti-everything, doctors, medical, and they have to kill me. I remember this one guy pastored at Middleburn Baptist. Oh, my goodness. The whole world was out to get this guy. I mean, really, anytime you talk to him, the whole world's out to get him. Everybody's out to get him. Everybody's out to take his money. Everybody's out to kill him. I'm like, really? I don't feel that way. I'm sure there's some people that are out to get you, out to kill you maybe, but I don't know. I'm thankful for doctors. I'm thankful for nurses. I'm thankful for paramedics. I'm thankful for anybody in the medical profession. I'm thankful for people like that, aren't y'all? For the most part, amen. Can they make mistakes? Absolutely. Are they human? I believe they are. But here were some perplexed physicians. She suffered many things of many physicians, but was nothing better. Remember, this wasn't like a 2-week illness here. This was 12 years she'd gone through this. First of all, we had bad bleeding. She had an issue of blood. Second, prolonged problem, 12 years. Third, severe suffering, suffered many things. Number four, perplexed physicians, many things of many physicians, and was nothing bettered. Number five, if that's not bad enough, listen to this. Failed finances. Failed finances. As far as I know, they didn't have insurance at that point. So you're going to pay it out of your pocket. Back in the Western days, you'd give someone a chicken maybe. Give them just a little bit, or maybe give them some corn, or give them, you know, it's kind of a barter system in a lot of ways. I remember old Doc Adams, he doesn't get a whole lot on, you know, one of my claim to fame is I've seen that sign. You know that sign that says, Doc Adams. When you go, anybody, hello, anybody know Gunsmoke? You know that stairs that goes up, that sign there? We went to the Cowboy Museum out in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, when we visited Heartland Baptist Bible College out there. Is that right? Heartland Baptist Bible College, I get that right? And we were out there, the youth group went out there, and we went to the museum, and I saw that sign. That's pretty cool. Like, wow, look at that. So what's the point? They took barter. They took things in a barter system, whatever they could get. I don't think they got rich back at that time. But this woman had spent all of her money. Remember, a 12-year ailment. Suffered many things. Wasn't getting better at all. Actually, was getting worse. Failed finances. It says in that verse, in verse 26, and had spent all that she had. Can you imagine how she would feel, or how you'd feel if you'd doctored for 12 years, had an ailment, wasn't any better, completely out of money, again, no insurance? What do we do? I mean, I would imagine she was feeling pretty helpless. But let me encourage you in a general way tonight, if you're feeling helpless, the best place I know is to find Jesus. And if you know Jesus, lean upon Jesus, right? So we got failed finances too. She'd spent all that she had. We got bad bleeding. We got prolonged problem. We got severe suffering. We got perplexed physicians. We got failed finances. Number six, we got an evident ending. An evident ending. Now, you don't have to be brilliant to figure this out. When you read to this point and it says, but rather grew worse, guess what? This woman is going to die from this ailment if something isn't done. Evident ending, but rather grew worse. Number seven, I see something in this woman. I see dogged determination, don't you? Dogged determination. Now, she could have been sitting in the corner moping, which maybe I'd have been sitting in the corner moping. I don't know. I can't tell you. Not in her situation. But she wasn't sitting in the corner moping. She came up with a plan, and she had determination. Notice it says in verse 24, there was a bunch of people there. They were thronging around Jesus. They were bumping into Jesus. A bunch of people following Jesus. There were a bunch of them there, but she had dogged determination. It says in verse 27 that when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. So I'm not quite sure how she did it, but she did it. She said, I am determined. There's a bunch of people in the way. I imagine there's some big people in the way, don't you? I mean, big people in the way. And this woman, I imagine, I'm just kind of connecting some dots here. If she'd been sick for 12 years, bleeding in some way, I'd imagine she wouldn't be the strongest person in the world. I figure you could beat her arm wrestling, don't y'all? Probably. Probably some weakness there. But she had this dogged determination that some way I'm going to get to Jesus. Y'all agree with that? Say yee-haw if you agree with that. Okay, all right, good. So we got dogged determination. We got a bunch of these double letters here. Bad bleeding, prolonged problems, severe suffering, perplexed physicians, failed finances, evident ending, dogged determination. Number eight, we got a promising plan. What was her plan? And it's a good plan. If I may but touch, verse 28, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. You know, there's lots of spiritual applications of this too, right? We're sin sick, we're hopeless, we're going to die, sin's going to kill us, we're going to spend eternity in hell. But guess what? If we touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, if we meet Jesus face to face, guess what? We're healed and we have eternal life. I'm spiritually clean. Not because of anything I've done, because of what Jesus did when I put my faith and trust in him. Isn't that great news? I've been spiritually healed. It looked hopeless for me until I got saved. It looked hopeless for you until you got saved, right? She had a promising plan. Number nine, I only have 26 points. Everybody still awake, alert, and enthusiastic? All right. You say, preacher, you got more points than any preacher I've ever been under. Well, thank you. I don't think you mean that as a compliment, probably, if you say that. But promising plan. Number nine, we have a heavenly healing. A heavenly healing. Look at verse 29. It says, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Verse 28, verse 29, and straightway she touched the hem, just the hem of his garment. And notice it says, and straightway, or immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Wow. She knew it. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Can you imagine the excitement on the inside? I am healed. That problem, 12 years, had been a problem to her. Out of money, nowhere else to turn. Comes up with a great plan. I'm gonna see Jesus. I'm gonna touch his hem of his garment, and I'm gonna be healed. And she did it just like that. Boom shakalaka, Larry. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Anytime y'all want to say boom shakalaka, you're welcome to do that. And that's exactly the way it was. She knew it. Heavenly healing. You see, Jesus was the Son of God. That's a good place to say amen. Jesus was the Son of God, and Jesus was God himself. Now, I'm telling you, a lot of people in this world, that's not a wee little itsy bitsy point. That's a huge point. Because a lot of people will say, that Jesus, yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good prophet. He's a good example. He's a good, you know, fill in the blank. He's more than that. He was God himself. And as God himself, he had the power to heal people. In fact, he's like God. He has all power, right? There was heavenly healing. Number 10. We have an interesting inquiry. After she touches the hem of Jesus' garment and this fountain of her blood dried up, she knew that she was healed of this plague, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. You see, you're not going to pull anything over on Jesus. Now, this is in a physical sense here when he was on the earth, but can I tell you, as Christians today, you're not going to pull anything over on Jesus. You're not getting by with anything. You say, well, it's in the dark. Nobody knows. It's after dark. It's secret. Nobody. God knows everything, and Jesus is God, and he knows everything, so you're not getting by with it. But the interesting inquiry was, who touched my clothes? Now, let me tell you. It's interesting. I find myself saying this quite a bit because obviously Jesus asked a lot of questions. But it wasn't because he didn't know the answer. He wanted the person to figure out what was going on and to examine themselves and see what was going on, right? So he said, and she squirmed. Let me tell you, who touched my clothes? Pretty interesting question. His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee and sayest thou, who touched me? They're almost like, Jesus, you're missing something here. Jesus is not missing nothing. Okay? He knew that virtue had gone out of him. He knew that someone had touched his garment. He knew exactly even who it was. But an interesting question. Who touched my clothes? Verse 33. You got a worshiping woman. You got a worshiping woman. It says in verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. So he knew exactly who it was. But it says in verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. You mean, we can't exactly get in her brain and figure out what she's thinking, but she probably thinks, I'm going to get in trouble. Because I didn't get his permission to touch his garment. And, you know, let me tell you, women did not have a high place in society at that time either. So she's probably squirming a bit thinking, I am going to get scolded. I'm going to get in trouble. Something bad's going to happen. So it says, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. Jesus knew virtue was gone out of him. And he knew the whole story, who it was, what happened. But she even knew that she was healed. I can only imagine what joy she's feeling, but now she's put on the spot a little bit, like, uh-oh. What do you think her plan was? Her plan was probably, I'm going to touch his garment, and I'm going to get out of here. But the only problem with that was the crowd was still there, right? So I'm healed. Let's get out of here. Who touched me? Uh-oh. It says fearing and trembling. But we see this worshiping woman. It says, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. You know, she showed humility. She showed thankfulness. She showed a grateful attitude when she fell down. And she told him all the truth. You know, I kind of see a corollary there when we're saved. When we, so to speak, fall at Jesus' feet, we tell him the truth, right? I'm a sinner. I failed you many times. I've done lots of things against you, God. Save my soul, would you? Forgive me of my sin. I mean, we go with truth before the Lord. You see, a lot of times the reason people don't get saved, they don't want to be honest with God. And they're putting on this show and this pride. No, I don't need anybody. I can pull myself up by my bootstraps. I can do it. You know, I can, you know, whatever. But until a person humbles themselves, right, humbles themselves, realizes that we're not the answer to the problem, realize that we are sinners in need of God's forgiveness, we're not going to fall down at Jesus' feet and say, save me. I'm a sinner, right? I see humility. I see gratefulness. She falls down to worship the Lord and told him all the truth. I imagine she was a little shaky in her voice, don't you figure? If she was afraid and trembling, she'd probably, it was me, I was the one. I've been, you know, probably what we just read there. I've been 12 years, I've had this bleeding problem, and I'm out of money. I suffered so much. You are my last hope, Jesus. Can you imagine that, hearing those words? And he said unto her, lastly, we have continuing consequences. Continuing consequences. It says, and he said unto her, that's Jesus, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You see, this woman who came to Jesus for physical healing, she died. I mean, the bleeding was stopped. That was healed. But believe me, somewhere along the line, maybe she got run over by a camel. I don't know. But this woman left this world. She died. Right? But was there continuing consequences from what she just did? She touched Jesus' garment by faith. Key. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And you know what? That faith has made thee whole is speaking more of her physical healing. More than just her physical healing. Her faith. Isn't that, I hope everybody gets that. The only way a person's going to be saved is by faith. Trusting what Jesus did for them. That's the way the Old Testament people got saved. They put their faith in what God had revealed to them. Listen to God. And they showed that by keeping the law and things like that. Or trying. They couldn't keep it perfectly. But they listened to God because they trusted and believed God. And that was how they were saved, if you will, or in a right relationship with God. Right? That's the way we're saved. And Jesus said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Physically and spiritually. In other words, you figured it out. You came by faith. You know who I am. You know what I can do. Go in peace. Go in peace. Jesus used that a lot, didn't he? Peace, peace. And then we've been looking downstairs in the Sunday school class, looking at different encounters of Jesus when he came in the resurrected body. When he came around to different groups, and he came to the 10 apostles, and he came to the 11 apostles, and both times, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. You see, Jesus is the only one that can give peace. And I imagine one thing that was probably lacking in this woman's life was peace. not only physically, emotionally, spiritually. And the Lord said, hey, you're good now. It's taken care of. You're healed. You're saved. You had faith in me. Continuing consequences. Do you think this woman's in heaven? Yeah. You know, it's going to be kind of cool. One cool part of heaven, everything about heaven's cool. I mean, that's a very understatement, I'm sure. But one thing is the opportunity I believe that we'll have to talk to different people that we've read their story hundreds of times. You know, and really say, well, you know, the Bible records exactly what God wanted recorded, absolutely, but just tell me about it and tell me how you were feeling and the exact words that you used when you recounted the story. And won't that be cool? I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know if any scripture says we get to do that, but I think we might. Don't you? You see, this woman not only experienced physical healing, she experienced spiritual healing because of her faith. Y'all agree with that? If you agree with that, say yeehaw. Okay, good. How big is God? I'm going to go back through these one more time. He's big enough to do what doctors cannot do. She had a bad bleeding problem. It was a prolonged problem. She had severe suffering. She had perplexed physicians in her life that couldn't figure it out. She had failed finances. She was out of money. It looked like it was an evident ending. It's just going to kill her. Sooner, probably, rather than later. But she had a dogged determination. She had a promising plan. I'm going to touch his clothes. I'm going to go in this crowd. She experienced a heavenly healing. It was an interesting inquiry from Jesus, who touched me? Then we had a worshiping woman. She fell down before him. And then there was, lastly, continuing consequences. It says in that verse one more time, thy faith hath made thee whole. Tonight, again, how big is God? And I think this is a really, really relevant topic. You know, it's amazing to me how many doctor visits we have. I mean, see, it used to be, you remember these days when a doctor actually knew how the whole body worked. Now you got all these little specialists. So if you go to the doctor and say, for instance, I go into the doctor and I said, I got a ringing in my ear. Okay, I'll send you to an ENT. So they got to refer you, and then you wait several months or a while, then you go see them. And then if they find something else that might be, they send you to another doctor, and then whatever else. And you got people going everywhere. I mean, we did a great job yesterday of picking the day that half of our church had doctor visits. I missed it by a day. My doctor visit was today, and Amy's doctor visit was today. But we have lots of doctor visits, right? And let me tell you, you know, technology has improved, right? And I'm thankful. Some of the things that killed maybe like our grandparents wouldn't have killed them by today's technology. Do you know what I mean? And I understand that any healing that really happens, it comes from God. I get that, okay? But even though doctors, I think, are very smart, I think that technology is improving, knowledge is improving, but there are still times that doctors can't figure it out. There are still times that doctors cannot figure it out. And they debate back and forth, and maybe they try this medicine, it doesn't work, and they try this medicine, and it doesn't work, and they try this infusion or blood transfusion or this or that, and it's like, maybe this will work, maybe it won't work. But in the midst of all that, remember, living in this world's terminal, if the Lord don't come back first. We're going to leave this world another way. In other words, we're going to close these eyes. But you know what? I serve a God. I know a God, personally, that's big enough to do what doctors cannot do. Did five times for Teresa. You know, I really see two really big applications for this. One is if you're battling an ongoing chronic problem. You know, you say, I just don't understand why God doesn't heal. Just like he did the woman. Why doesn't? I want to touch his garment. Okay, he's not here. I can't touch his garment. The Lord is touching, and you don't get it. I don't get it sometimes either. I got to be totally honest with you. I don't get it either. I don't understand why. Yeah, I don't get it. But I trust God.
I trust God. And if God wanted to, he has the power to do it. It's not like God's up there, I can't heal that one. So, and that one I can, this one I can. I'm telling you, he's big enough to do what doctors cannot do. He's big enough to do anything, right? And then we've all heard instances in people's lives, in our families most likely, there's nothing more we can do. But you know, really, God never makes that statement. He never says, you know what, there's nothing more I can do. God can do anything he wants to do. Again, I'm sure you're not sitting back there saying, boy, that was just, I've never heard that before. I mean, again, this is stuff that we need to be reminded of. Because let me tell you, this world is crazy. This world is unpredictable. And this world is very fragile. And who knows what news we might get this week. And who knows what news you may have gotten this week, earlier this week. And you're like, man, I'm just bowled over. Can I encourage you in the fact that God is big enough to do what doctors cannot do? So when they can't figure it out, God can. When they say there's nothing more we can do, God says, ha ha, I still can. Just think about this woman. 12 years, same problem, same bleeding, suffered lots, had no money left, and Jesus said, okay. Boom. Boom shakalaka, Larry. She got saved. She got healed. God can do it. Now, again, I want to put a big asterisk or a big parenthesis here. I'm not one to say when God will and when he won't, but I know that he can. That's right. He does it in his own time. And God is God, and I'm not God, and I don't always get it, but I trust him. But he is big enough, even if your doctor says, don't have a clue, don't know how to fix it, don't know what's going on, and even if they say those dreadful words, there's nothing more we can do. I'm thankful that I serve a God that's big enough to do more than any doctor, is big enough to do whatever he wants to do because he is God. Again, we didn't have to have this kind of God. We've been in this series a while, How Big Is God? But I just want to impress upon you, God didn't have to be that kind of God. God could have been one of those gods, well, he gets it right 1 out of 3 times. No, our God gets it right 3 out of 3 times. I mean, our God can help your health a little bit, but that's about it. No, my God could completely heal you if he chooses to, because he's that kind of God. And that's what gives we Christians hope and encouragement and strength, because if we haven't got that bad news, we're gonna at some point, most likely. But God is big enough to do anything, big enough to do what doctors cannot do. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? Would you take just a moment and thank God for being so big? Would you just thank God for being so big? And really, it applies to every area, not just health. But do you know of some health issue that you might have, or someone in your family might have, or someone in your one of your friends might have, that you just want to take to the Lord right now and tell the Lord, I know that you can do what doctors cannot do, and I call upon Jesus. I call upon Jesus to bring healing in your perfect will. Would you say that to the Lord right now? If there's anyone here, anyone listening in to our live stream, spiritually you need healing as well. You can't take your sins to heaven, and you are a sinner, as the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He wants to heal you spiritually by saving your soul. If you're listening in wherever you might be, guess what? Right where you are right now, right in your favorite recliner, wherever you might be listening in, you can call out to the Lord and mean it from your heart and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. You know what he'll do? He'll forgive you of your sins. If you want to be saved, you say, I believe God. I believe in prayer. I'm telling you in prayer. I believe Jesus was your son who died upon the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. And if you mean that from your heart, you can be saved. And then you can say to the Lord from your heart, Lord, I confess Jesus as my Savior. Then you can be saved. You can be healed spiritually right now and spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. Would you do that wherever you might be? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story. We've heard it a lot. We've heard it preached. We've heard it taught many times. But Lord, we thank you for the reminder tonight, Lord, that you're a big God. You're a big God. You can do anything. Lord, you can do what doctors cannot do, as we see in the life of this woman. Lord, we love and thank you for your Bible. We love and thank you for the encouragement from your word. And Lord, whatever news we might get about our physical condition, Lord, we know that you got it under control and you're all powerful. We pray this in Jesus' name.